Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Tom Chapman. I'm the police chief here in Arcata. I appreciate you coming. I know it's a little tough to bring everybody together. What I'm hoping to do is a couple of things. One is primarily give you an update on the officer-involved shooting that happened last night in our community. A couple of quick introductions. Our mayor, Paul Patino's here with us, and our city manager, Karen Dean, is also here. So let me start by saying, obviously these are just horrible incidents that we have to deal with in law enforcement. Fortunately for us in Arcata, it's been a number of years since we've had an event like this. April 1st, 1980 was the last officer-involved shooting we had that resulted in death or injury. So we've had this wide span of time where we haven't had to deal with this. We haven't had to really come together as a department and move forward through just a horrible, horrible situation. Certainly our thoughts are with the man who was shot, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. Of course, our officers, their families in our community. It's unnerving. It's probably not the best word. It probably can come up with a better description for it. But it's very impactful in your community when you have an event like this where one of our law enforcement officers is forced to discharge their firearm in the course of their, their duties. Certainly there's feelings of being unsafe, feelings that crime is rampant and crime is out of control. Our hope is through this process that is set up countywide, through our investigation of officer-involved shooting, that we can kind of quell that a little bit, quickly and efficiently go through a thorough investigation and get information out to the public as quick as we can to help calm things down. But of course it's tough and it's difficult. This time of social media and instant access, a lot of rumors fly really fast, and it's tough for us in our traditional method of law enforcement to stay on top of it and to get out in front of it. So for us, number one, we're not practiced at this. So we're doing the best we can. I'm going to try to answer the questions that you have, but also understand, please, that it's really early in this investigation. I think we're less than 24 hours in, and this will be our second kind of bigger update that we have for the media. So let me go through it. You'll be emailed this. I'll go through it. You'll hear some similar things that we've already put out. You'll hear some new information, and then we can come back around. I'll try to answer some questions if I'm able to, okay? So last night, March 17th, about 6:43 p.m., our officers, two Arcata police officers, responded to the corner of 14th and G Street. There's a gas station there. The clerk had called in a man that was acting kind of in an aggressive and bizarre manner. He was drinking from an open container outside the business. He had gone inside, purchased alcohol. Clerk was concerned about him enough that he got him out of the store, goes outside, is drinking alcohol. He's got two items. We called him a stick last night. What we found out was one was a wooden stick about 3 feet long, kind of similar to a wooden dowel, if you can kind of picture that, and a metal cane. So this gentleman is outside spinning those items in a, what the clerk described as a ninja fashion. I interpreted that to be, you know, kind of like a martial arts kind of manner. So our officers respond. Two APD officers arrive on scene simultaneously at 6:51 p.m. where they encounter the 26-year-old man at the corner, right at 14th and G Street. Civilian witnesses, in-car camera footage from three police cars, and surveillance footage from the business confirmed that the man was actually in possession of two weapons. One was the 3-foot-long wooden stick, similar to that dowel, and the other was a metal cane. The man had the weapon, and he had a weapon in each hand, and was aggressively swinging the weapons in a martial arts style. The man, whose identity is not ready to release that yet, we have a few more investigative steps we need to complete before I feel comfortable giving out his name. I hope to do that in the very near future. I don't know that it'll be today, but perhaps tomorrow we'll be able to get his name out. So, officers encounter the guy, give him instructions to drop the two weapons. He refused, starts having a back and forth with the officers. Both officers tried to verbally de-escalate the situation, try to get the guy to come down a little bit. It's captured through the audio in the camera, in-car camera system. Has an audio component. You can hear the interaction that they're having with this gentleman. As they're going through this de-escalation process, the man begins to approach the officers, and he's swinging both of those weapons towards the officers. And then instantly, you can see it on the camera, quickly the man charges directly at one of our police officers while he's raising the metal cane up over his head. It appears it was clear, at least to me, it was clear, it looks like he's trying to attack the officer with the metal cane. So there's two officers. The guy's going in between the two cars. One officer, as he starts to charge, deploys his taser. The taser has no effect. Guy's still coming forward. Gets to within an arm's length or so. He's almost right on top of the officer who ultimately discharges his weapon. So the officer discharged his firearm in rapid succession, four times, striking the man. The man sustained one gunshot wound to his right arm. Clear on that? So one gunshot wound on his right arm, one to his right leg, and two gunshot wounds in his torso. He goes down, the officers approach, the man starts to come up, there's a little bit of a struggle, they're able to subdue him. Once he's subdued, he's in handcuffs, the officers immediately begin first aid, doing some life-saving efforts, call an ambulance, and within minutes, it was remarkable how quickly the ambulance got there. We had an ambulance on scene where the man was transported to the hospital. Ultimately, he went into surgery last night, is out of surgery now. He's in critical but stable condition. So we, last night, activated our Humboldt County Critical Incident Response Team. It's called CERT. They responded to investigate, comprised of investigators from Eureka Police Department, the District Attorney's Office, the Sheriff's Office, and the Fortuna Police Department. So as a standard protocol in these types of events, per our policy, both officers that were involved last night were placed on administrative leave. The identity of those officers will be released within the next day. We have just a couple of little cleanup things that we feel like we need to do, and then we'll get that information out to you. The next step is, you know, this investigative process that we're in right now. At the conclusion of that process, CERT will take their investigation, and that will be submitted to the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Typically, it really depends upon the complexity of the investigation. Sometimes it's weeks, sometimes it could be longer for that investigation to be submitted to the district attorney. Roughly, I think we're probably a couple weeks out on this particular investigation. We were able to identify witnesses very quickly. The scene was pretty contained, so the evidence collection in that process wasn't overly complex. So that's what I anticipate. Can I try to answer some questions, please?
What's the current condition of the man in the shop?
So he's classified as stable. He's in critical condition, but he's stable. So not deteriorating, not necessarily recovering. Just kind of, they have him at a stable condition.
What form of alcohol was the suspect consuming? Beer, wine, hard stuff?
I don't know. Yes?
How long were the two officers with the department?
Both officers have been with us for a number of years. One officer is about 7 years, and the other officer is maybe 3.5 years, somewhere in there.
Are they both male?
They are.
Did the officer that discharged his firearm, had he ever discharged his firearm in the field before?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
What weapon was he carrying, and what caliber, and what kind of ammunition?
I don't know, Paul. I mean, I can certainly get that, but off the top of my head, I don't think I can recite it to you.
Okay.
Although I probably should know.
How long was the sort of verbal de-escalation aspect of their interaction?
The officers arrived on scene at 6:51, and just going by our radio traffic and kind of what was happening on that radio, about 6:54, I don't know if it's 6:54:30 or, you know, where that fit, but so I'd say roughly 3 to 4 minutes, somewhere in there, they're interacting.
It's 3 minutes. Would you say that was ample time to defuse the situation verbally before they felt threatened enough to shoot?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know that you can put a time on it, because obviously each situation is different. Each situation is unique. And a lot of what the officers are going to be doing, not in just this situation, but in all situations, is they're reading whatever's happening. It's a dynamic situation, and they're trying to respond, coach this individual to comply. Sometimes compliance happens immediately, sometimes it doesn't happen at all. And so I guess I can't really answer one way or another because each situation sets up so differently.
Would you say, though, that during those 3 minutes, there was ongoing conversation or dialogue between the officers and the suspect?
Yeah, they were definitely interacting, and it was going both ways.
And was the suspect using aggressive language or profanity?
Yeah, both.
Did he threaten the officers with harm verbally?
I can't answer that one right now.
Is there any description you can give us of the victim, or maybe where the victim was from?
Not yet. Yeah, and I hope to have that.
Did you have contact with this man before?
A couple minor contacts about a year ago. Very minor stuff.
What's the time difference between the tasing and the shooting?
I can't say with accuracy. It is quick. It's happening. If you can picture somebody rushing, you know, all of a sudden, person's coming in, taser deploys, gunshots happen. It's definitely distinctly two events, but it's quick.
Was the taser the prong style? Where
it was. Yeah. Did I answer that for you?
I think
that's a hard one.
Yeah.
I can't give you an exact time. It's a fast.
Maybe the question might be for the public would be that whether it was the timing between the tasing and the shooting was maybe it was a little too quick. Like after
I understand the question. I don't know that I can draw a conclusion on that here. I think that certainly would be part of our investigation. A couple of investigative processes happen. One is a criminal investigation, the conduct. So did a crime occur? And that's really the focus of CERT. And then we will go forward with an administrative investigation, which are we within policy? Are we within procedure? Do we need to refine policy, procedure? What are some lessons that we can take from this event? What are our opportunities in terms of training and coaching and some of those things? So too soon, as things start to unfold in the investigation and those become finalized, I think I'll have a better idea of what that looks like. Yeah.
When you said quick, you seem like shooting, is that like 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, less than 5? I guess just some sort of...
Yeah, it's...
2 minutes?
Or? Oh, no. No, they're almost instantaneous.
Okay.
Almost. Not quite. So whatever that move is.
But it was the same officer?
No, so two different officers. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. So we have two different officers. The officer, I don't know how to describe it. The officer on the left is you're facing out. Guy comes in between the two cars, and the taser comes from that angle. So the guy's coming down between the two cars.
So the man that did the tasering was not getting charged?
Correct, yeah.
The one that discharged his firearm was the one that was getting charged?
Right. Yeah.
What emphasis was placed on de-escalation in training prior to this event, and do you anticipate any changes? I know you just mentioned those things that the address in the future, but specifically de-escalation, what training do officers have?
Right. Okay. So the primary focus for us has been over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, has been our crisis intervention training. And what that is a, I think it's either a 32 or 40-hour class that's put on jointly with Department of Health and Human Services, their mental health branch. Arcata PD sponsored it a couple of times, where we send officers through and they're learning skills and techniques on interacting with people in crisis. The focus is primarily related to mental health and try to give the officers some understanding and then also tools that they can use to try to diffuse, de-escalate, maybe some key words, phrasing. It's a pretty wide encompassing class. So that's been a focus for us for a number of years. We have had, I believe, nearly all of our officers have gone through the training, including my supervisory staff, management staff, and myself. As we bring on new hires, it's our intent to have them trained also. Both of these officers have gone through the CIT training.
Past contact with the suspect or the person that was shot, was in the past year, was there mental health issues with him prior to this? Or at that time?
That was not our contact. Those weren't our contacts with him.
Oh, okay.
So this is the first officer involved shooting in Arcata that's resulted in injury in 36 years?
Whatever the math is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Since
36. Yeah. It's been a number of years. I mean, before our time, really. So it is. It's tough. It's tough on the department. It's tough on the community. You know, as I said, I don't necessarily repeat that. But it's just a difficult time. It's a difficult situation. You have, we have an officer who discharged the firearm in the line of duty. In the law enforcement world, that is like the most serious, gravest thing you can do. And your responsibility, both ethical and moral and legal, and that officer is making that decision in a second, if not less than a second. So it's big. We feel the weight of it. The officer feels the weight of it. The officer's family feels the weight of it. It's difficult. It's a difficult time. Yeah.
To my understanding, it's you really have to feel like your life is threatened in the situation. Would you say that that officer felt like his life was threatened in that moment to discharge his firearm?
I think when you look at the totality of the circumstance, it seems clear to me that that's what we have. I can't get into the interviews and the statements and the evidence and some of those things, but from a broad perspective, looking at that video, knowing what those officers were facing in that moment, it seems clear to me that that's what happened. Yeah.
So the guy was hit with four shots. That was the total number of shots fired?
Correct. Yeah, four rounds were discharged.
And were rounds recovered at the scene? Dispensed cartridge?
Yes, casings. Rounds. Yeah, four casings.
Four casings.
Yeah, were recovered at the scene.
Why would a taser not work? What are possible reasons that would not subdue someone?
Couple of things happen with the taser. One is it's possible that you don't have skin contact. So if a taser will catch, and I'm not saying that this is what happened, but somebody who's wearing bulky clothes, you don't get skin contact, so you don't get the effect from the taser. Missing, one probe hits, one probe doesn't hit, depends upon the distance that you know it's gonna have to travel. And of course malfunction, and then you hear stories, while I've not seen it, you of course hear stories of people fighting through being tased. And I can't say what this circumstance was at this time.
Is that part of the investigation?
It is, yeah, absolutely.
We may have an answer on that.
Right, yeah, I hope to have an answer on that. So if I could just take one or two more questions, please. Yeah.
What is the review process now that the search is involved?
So, ultimately, the district attorney, the Humboldt County District Attorney, will receive a investigative report, and she, probably a deputy district attorney, will review the report and the evidence. And make a determination of whether or not the shooting was justified or not. And that's the result of the investigation that they were looking at. She could also make the determination that more investigation needs to be done. The district attorney could make the determination that the investigation was satisfactory and all the information that is needed for her to make a decision is included.
In the milliseconds that elapsed between the taser discharge and the gunshots, whether it was milliseconds or moments, would it have been standard operating procedure for the second officer to try to discharge his taser before firing?
The second officer, meaning the officer who discharged their firearm?
Yes.
Okay, so typically, what we'll do in a situation like this is you will have one officer will be, and this is just a broad statement, one officer will be have a less lethal option, for example, taser, and one officer will have a lethal option. So if they're faced with what they believe to be a lethal threat, either both officers will have a lethal option, or they'll do what they did, one have less lethal, and one with a lethal option.
You said in the lead of the press release that the suspect was wielding two weapons.
Correct.
Was that one in each hand?
It was.
Then how was he able to consume alcohol at the same time he was going through this martial arts routine?
My impression of it is he's out there drinking, putting down his beer, assuming it's beer, I don't know what it was, but swinging his weapons, picking it up, it's kind of this ongoing display out in the parking lot. There were a few minutes before our officers were able to get on the scene, so what happened in that interim, I'm not 100% clear on at this point. Okay. Yeah, please.
Yeah, when he charged, was just using the metal cane at that point?
He had both weapons.
Oh,
yeah.
One
in each hand.
So. And when you said stick, was this like a stick he found out of the woods, or?
Don't know where he got it. It looks like, to me, it looks like a wooden dowel. If you can just picture like a handle or a dowel or that type of thing. Okay? Yeah, please, last one, please.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the previous contacts you had with this?
I can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just, so you're saying that the last officer involved shooting, last time a gun was discharged during the line of duty was in 1980?
Where a suspect was injured.
Oh, okay. Do you know of when the last time a gun was discharged in the line of duty at all?
It's not terribly uncommon where we get injured animals, you know, something where we have to dispatch an animal or, you know, that type of event. Approximately 1 year ago, I think it was about a year ago, we had an officer discharge a firearm, someone threw an axe at him. The person was not hit, and he was ultimately taken into custody. I think that was a year ago. It wasn't two years ago. Yeah, so about a year ago.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a quick comment before you went. Just a couple of things. Karen Beamer, Cuba City Manager, and I just wanted to take a minute really to acknowledge that this is a tragic event, and we really recognize that as a suspect, certainly for our officers and for the community. And we also want to recognize that this is a densely used commercial and residential neighborhood, and that there are our understanding that there were many people that heard, that saw either the incident itself or the scene last night or even today. And that I think both the mayor and I would really encourage residents to come out, to share thoughts, to share solutions, to share ideas about that incident and about what evidently is a growing complexity of our social issues in our community. And that if we can do our best to learn lessons from this incident and to share ideas and to create solutions, that could be one possible positive outcome. So I just wanted to share that and really recognize that that's the level of discussion that we will start to have at the staff level.
Can you give examples of the increasing social complexity?
You know, we can start to look maybe more deeply at the data, but anecdotally, I know that our officers are increasingly dealing with complex issues of drug use in our community, more aggressive behavior from, you know, daily interactions that they have out in our community. And it's not in an extreme escalating condition, but the reports that we receive from residents as well is some increasing concern. And so we are already having some of these conversations in our community. There was a group forum called the Community Pride and Peace Project surrounding issues on the plaza last year. And there's been some fantastic dialogue that's come out of that group and some real action that's come out of that group. So I think that those community-based solutions are going to go a long way in trying to create a safe culture that hopefully eliminates the need for interactions like this.
Yeah, Paul Patino, mayor, landscaper, neighbor, resident here. For me, I look at, we have a great police department. My experience, like everybody else for the past 36 years, has been that nobody's been shot. So this is new to me, it's new to us. And I'm very interested in knowing everything about it, like all of you are. And as we're allowed to know that information, what the DA or whoever may release after they review it all, I think that we'll come to see that we probably are, should be proud of our police and our community. So I'm here in their support. And in the quest of information, just as any other citizen would like. So you're welcome to call me, talk to me. And as I know stuff, I will pass it out to you. Thanks.